Hey, grandkids, welcome to a 3-hour extravaganza of a stunt. Oh, no.
My
Thank
God.
God we don't have to do 3 hours. I'm here with almost snowed in Eric Nelson. How you doing, Eric?
How many people do you think just clicked stop as soon as you said that?
Oh, man. I couldn't even imagine. I mean, I marvel at those guys that do that I listen to on a daily basis. I mean, they're on probably about 300 days out of 365 out of the year, and I don't know how you do, you know, 4 to 5 hours of radio every day, well,
yeah,
5 days a week.
The man cows and the Opies and Anthony's, and I don't know, I can watch Mike and Mike while I'm on the treadmill on ESPN, but about 30 minutes of that is all I can handle. So, yeah, 3 hours of Stunt Granny. He was kidding. It's okay. Come in. Come off the ledge. It's okay.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody could stand the jackassery for that long, although that really is the point of ONA. So I suppose we could maybe try that. Well, God, we're almost at that level when we do the when we did the WrestleManias there.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We've had our marathon shows before. We've broken them up into parts, but
yep.
Whatever. Good times. It's always good times
yep.
here, Stunt Granny.
Yeah, and wow, I mean, it really was a big week. No matter what you thought of the happenings, and I certainly had my piece in our forum, in which almost nobody responded, which was nice of them.
You got a couple of responses. I mean, you got to give credit to the couple of people. I think like Callie,
yeah.
if I remember
yeah,
right.
Callie
maybe,
maybe
yeah. Jeff Brown, maybe Awesome Dude. It's like, I swear, I don't know. I know Fnatic is always posting comments on our post, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are a couple people chimed in. But yeah, it was definitely the Kevin DeFranco show starring Kevin DeFranco.
Yeah, and then the... I'm trying to think of, I don't have the wording for it, though, but Jeremy just always says, that talented asshole, after reading Dusty's post about the Monday Night Wars.
Yes.
I was like, and I read through it, I'm just like, oh, son of a bitch. Like, he just, yeah, I was like, that's just buried what I did.
Hey, we had to have two-pronged coverage, though. We got the website and we got the forum. So,
yeah.
All is well. All is well in the Stunt Galaxy.
Yep.
Oh, so yeah,
plus,
I
did not get in any ROH coverage like Dusty did, so he got in even more wrestling coverage than I did, which was awfully nice of him. He covered three leagues in one night.
Yeah, that's impressive. That's good work. That's some high-definition shit right there, my friends. So, okay,
oh,
so you're one of us who watched the most TNA. No one knows. Oh, wait a minute.
I watched... all of it except for I can't handle. I don't care what show it is. That blip segment that they're doing on a lot of shows, because I know that TNA is not the only one doing it. I don't give a shit.
What is this now?
It's that one segment where they show like two commercials, and then they'll do a cut in for maybe 10 seconds or something like that, and then they roll back to the commercials.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, yeah like, it's you know, it's a very, very, very short segment, you know, I mean, and then they go back to it. I mean, like I said, they're not the only program that's done it, and I just don't give a shit no matter what the show is. It's just, like, that is too short to really get anything across.
Yeah. I mean,
and I mean,
I guess Mike Tenay can sit there at ringside and yell all he wants to, but it's still, it's kind of jarring, now that I know
yeah.
what you
mean. And you know, to me, that always just strikes me as that I can't believe how sad our attention spans are at this point.
Right.
Kind of
well,
a thing.
Not just ours as viewers either, but theirs as writers. Like, what can we give
yeah.
them in 15 seconds? How long can we keep Lacey Von Erich on TV? I don't know, whoever they're really done.
Oh, God. I didn't even get into more of that, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I know this isn't exactly the same thing, but it's close to it. Since you mentioned it, I always liked going to Monday Night Raw and then being there live in the crowd, and Lillian Garcia would, like, 4 minutes before the show started, when fucking Murder, She Wrote was on, or Silk Stockings, or whatever, Law and Order SVU, whatever ended up being on before Raw, they do that cut-in during the last commercial break to tease, and, you know, Jim Ross would be, everybody tune in, dang it, tonight's going to be Stone Cold versus somebody, next! And then they'd go back to the end of Walker, Texas Ranger. But then live at the arena, Lillian Garcia would always be like, we're going to be live in 3, 2, 1, and the crowd would go ape shit. And then, like, 30 seconds later, she'd be like, all right, sit down and shut up. And then, like, 4 minutes later, okay, we're going live again. And everyone's like, whoa, what?
Oh, yeah. I've got to get ready for Justin Roberts to do that. I've got to talk to my buddies.
Yeah. There you go.
Because Kevin should be taking another trip to Raw here. Because I believe it's the last Monday. I think it's going to be the last Raw before the Royal Rumble there. I think it's the 27th or whatever that Monday is.
Oh, very cool. Let's see. What would that be? There's a... Fuck. The 11th?
Monday is the 25th.
The 25th, yep.
Yeah, no, I can't believe it. I have Stunt Granny pulled up, and there's the calendar for January right there on the right-hand side.
See, all the services we provide to you people, we give you a calendar, we give you smart-ass commentary, those are really, and pictures of tits. I mean, really, it's a full-service
one. What else can you
ask for? That's right. A calendar, tits, and being a smart-ass. I like it. If I had a microwave, I'd never leave the house. I don't know. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea who's going to be the guest host of Raw that night?
No, I do not.
Okay, I'm trying to think. I know they announced the guys from Psych, which is my favorite show on TV, and it's which by default makes it my favorite show on USA, even in contention with Monday Night Raw. The two guys on that show are going to guest host the week before that, I think, on the 18th. I'm pretty sure that when they come back with more new episodes, John Cena is going to be on the newest episode of Psych, which is why they're going to promote that. And I think
that's a good reason.
Yeah, I think they just announced who's going to guest host February 1st. Damn it, I can't remember. Maybe it'll come to me later. Oh, well. But anyway, if you find out who's your guest host, then we'll not break the news here.
Yeah, no, I haven't really paid attention, and well, I've got to buy tickets too, although they still have been advertising that like a motherfucker on Raw, so I figure that there are still some empty seats available, and even if I have to sit up in the boonies and, you know, save myself some money, that's not such a bad thing.
Well, I was going to go to see the house show, the Raw house show in Cedar Falls, Iowa, on Friday, actually. But they canceled it for low ticket sales. So, yeah, even though it's Raw, I wouldn't worry about it too much. Like, when I went to look for tickets about 3 weeks after they went on sale, I'm pretty sure I could still get third row ringside. Which, if you figure there are probably 20 to 25 seats per row on the floor, that's 100, 200, that's less than 300 tickets sold in 3 weeks. And the venue holds about 9,000 people. So, yeah, I can see where they canceled that. That's unfortunate, though, because Cedar Falls is only an hour and 10 minutes north of me. Fuck, I could have gone to see a house show for $40 or whatever, but nope. None of my other compadres around here could go to the tune of 9,000 people. Oh, well. Maybe next time.
Yep. So, I guess we should actually talk about one of the two shows here.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Should we keep on the Raw train?
Yeah, sure. Why the fuck not? I think that's the way to go.
Sure. It was the one that I watched the most. Like I said, I caught some of the first hour of TNA. I caught very, very, very little of the rest of TNA, so I can at least speak to Raw.
Yeah, well, I had a really hard time, and I think I mentioned that in the forum there, turning back to TNA, just because it's worse. I mean, again, like, it's not like I'm saying that Raw is some, great program that I feel like I should never miss or something like that. But it's better, you know.
Yeah.
That first hour, they promised. Okay, and going back to the whole Lacey thing, you know, they promised the whole strip poker. And, you know, they really could have been wearing a little bit less, but they never showed any of the beautiful people after that.
Right.
After Val got there, all we got to see was Val. And I don't care what name he's going to go by, Sean, who gives a shit.
Yeah,
Mr.
I like how...
Choppy, choppy pee-pee.
Yeah, when they started to say his name, he goes, ladies, let's not bring up old names. I'm like, that's never, ever been said in the history of the world, that phrase. It's like, he could have at least said, you know, let's not bring up the past, even though they probably wouldn't want to said past because it sounds old. You know, anything that's not, I mean, fuck. Why would you say, you would never say that in a group of even like hot chicks or fucking ugly chicks or anything. You'd never be like, let's not bring up old names. This is so awkward.
Yeah, that was a little more, I didn't really think about it at the time, but I guess that is a little strange, you know.
Just weird wording, very forced, very silly.
Yeah, because, I mean, the least they could have done is, I mean, they didn't even have a Crystal shaking her ass during strip poker moment like they did when the WWE Divas did it.
That's right,
I mean,
but hey, she's busy bitching everybody out, though.
Yeah, she was. But, I mean, really, like, I mean, that's a moment that I still remember. Maybe it's because I didn't ever think that she was particularly hot, or I thought she was hot, but, like, not that memorable. But then when she did that, it was like, holy shit.
Yep.
You know, and they just, I know that they show Velvet and Madison's ass all the time, but still, I wouldn't have minded. You know,
yeah.
I would have liked one of those segments a little bit more if there would have been some bare ass in a G-string or something like that.
Thank God. Thank God for you, Kevin. You are 100% right.
Yeah. You know.
Anyway, we can get back to why Raw was better, because it was. I mean, let's look at what happened as soon as Raw went on the air. Bret Hart comes out, gets a decent reaction. Of course, people in Dayton remember him, so that's good. Dayton's fucking 10 years behind the times anyway.
Yes, they are.
I know at least one person that lives in Dayton who has, there's a far, far, far out chance that he might actually listen to this. Hey, I'd love to come back and play a gig in your town again, I swear. But let's not fucking... Let's not kid ourselves here. Jesus Christ, people in Dayton, Ohio are just getting around to hooking up their second VCRs to dub off tapes. This town's pretty fucking backwards. You can't even get AIDS there yet, so of course they're going to pop for Bret Hart. But his, you know, his segment with Shawn Michaels was good. It was tense. And you got to love when Michaels does the thing where he takes about 3 steps away and then he stands there with his side to the person. Because it's like at this point he's given somebody sweet chin music so many times that you don't know whether or not it's coming. And they always tease it just right. They always get it right. It's awesome. And they got it right this time. And they hugged and they shook hands and it was cool. And who knows when they actually buried the hatchet, but it was cool to see on TV. And then on the other show, granted, everybody's old. This 15 minutes of television for both shows, everybody's old. I understand that. We got this pack of like super old men who just can't wrestle anymore on the other show. And I had the volume down, so I don't even know what they said. Kevin, if you could enlighten me, that would be great.
Well, Scott Hall and Sean Waltman still wanted to party. And it's just like, I mean, I look at people now, like my fucking whorish ex-wife who still wanted to keep on drinking at the age of 33 and just, like, party all night long and every fucking day of the week.
Uh-huh.
And I just look at them like, seriously, like, aren't you fucking 33?
Isn't
you know, don't
that,
you have... Yeah, like, I don't mind. Like, I still go out and drink. That's cool. But Scott Hall, dude, A, you have Hornswoggle attached to your stomach.
Yeah, he had... For the gut that Bret Hart's gotten on him in the last few years... I mean, Jesus Christ, Scott Hall. I know, he's getting older. I mean, what's he, 50? I understand having a gut when you're 50, but jiminy Christmas.
Yeah, and Brett Hall looked, or Bret Hart looked a lot better than Scott Hall did.
Yes.
Of course,
he
probably didn't actually do all the partying that Scott Hall did back in the day, which might be a large part of the problem or a large part of the equation. That's what I was looking for. So, yeah, maybe that's it. But, yeah, he wanted to party. They heard ECE was going to be there. Was that when, did Nash come down first?
I don't remember now.
Yeah, Nash came down first. Oh, yeah, because Kevin Nash has been here for a while now.
Uh-huh.
And Nash comes down and talks to him and gives him the Wolfpack sign. And, you know, and he talks about Hogan going against, he's like, oh, this isn't what we talked about over the phone.
Oh, for God's sake. Are you fucking serious? They pulled that shit.
Yeah, and you know what? That's the funny thing, is that all the... As I'm talking right now, it's now dawning on me that they were supposed to have set up this, there's going to be a division between us,
uh-huh.
but we're back together at the end of the program. I hate to jump around, but like it just literally dawned on me. I mean, that's how... It's still, you know, shit shot programming where everything is fire it off, like 10 seconds, you know. Oh, my gosh. I mean, they make Adult Swim look like their 12-minute shows are lengthy.
Yeah, it looks like fucking Roots. Well, okay. This has been said a million times, but that is trademark Vince Russo. I guarantee Russo had a huge hand in writing this, so whatever. Hogan and Bischoff and anyone can say what they want to. Russo is still the head writer. That's his thing. He books dissension immediately. You can't fucking, I guarantee, there are two guys on the roster right now who probably don't even know they'll be a tag team right now. Then, you know, they'll have some sort of alliance on the next time that Impact is live. In fucking 30 seconds, they'll be looking all cross at each other and shit, and do I trust him and whatever. I don't get, why does Vince Russo get off on that idea that there always has to be tension between two people? Like, between, especially partners, partnerships. That's fucking so stupid. You realize that the fucking Hart Foundation would have broken up in, like, 2 months if he was around back in 1985. What a fucking
beast. They would have broken up. The Warlord and the Barbarian would have hung Mr. Fuji, and Demolition would have unhung Mr. Fuji, and then broken up, and they would have each tagged with either the Warlord or the Barbarian to get back at each other. And I didn't even think about that aspect either. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, it is. It's that whole dissension thing, too. It's just like, oh. And, like, it just didn't come across that well. Like, I know that they weren't supposed to be in their arena, but that even that part was so cheesily done.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, and I think you mentioned it, that it was like Chris Jericho being outside of Raw the other week.
Yeah, with the conspiracy victim sign, which was awesome. Holler back, 1998. Fucking, oh my God, so brilliant. But anyway, yeah.
But they were smart enough to have Big Show come there and drop off the ticket for him so that he could get in. Yep. Now, Hall and Waltman just waltz on into the impact zone.
Well, here's what I saw, because again, I have
without getting time. Anything.
Yeah, they got there, they're like, yeah, we're on the list. And the cheesy fucking security crew was like, no, you're not. And then they tried to get in, and you see the swarm of security. Then they go to commercial, and the next thing you see is the two of them just casually walking through the crowd. I'm like, what? How the fuck?
Yeah.
How the fuck did they get in?
Yeah.
Unreal.
It is. Like...
So many gaps in logic.
Yeah, just take out that extra moment of showing. I don't even care if they just showed the back of somebody or, you know, like, I don't care if the cameraman that's following them hands them the tickets or something, like, oh, I just got this package from the production truck. Like, you know, I don't care. Like, pretend that it was Vince Russo slipping them the tickets.
Yeah.
You know, I don't give a shit. You know, just have them get in there legitimately, one way or the other. And again, like, with their crackpot programming, they could have done that. That segment could have been filmed, and voila, they're in, everything's solved, it doesn't look nearly as bad.
Yep, it's like, not that hard to fill in logic gaps. It's not that damn hard.
I say it all the time, it's just like, oh, man. You know, you end up having to beat on the same things over and over again. So, yeah, so there was that segment, and then Bischoff came out and chilled everything out. And, well, and that was the other weird thing. Like, Bischoff comes out, he starts to talk, and, like, Nash, Waltman, and Hall all pretty much take off right away.
Uh-huh, that's weird.
Yeah, and then Bischoff starts talking about, where's the producer? And I'm just...
Yep.
Seriously, like, okay, you ran a TV show. You know that the producer is in a truck, off, or probably on site, but, you know, not in the building.
Yeah, they're stage managers for that. That's somebody who would be in the building. They usually sit at ringside. You know, for anybody who's a big nerd like me who when watching WCW pay-per-views back in the day, you would see the things like Woody was the stage manager, you know? Like, oh, that must be that doofus that was sitting next to Tony Schiavone and Bobby Heenan giving directions that came from the truck, which is where the producer sits.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And
thanks a lot, Bischoff.
Yeah, and it's just like, okay. Like,
You think a guy who works in television with Jason Hervey from the Wonder Years would know that shit.
Exactly. It's just like, fucking A, dude, get it right. Like, I don't... Why are you fucking up something that you do? And, like, they have been planning and hyping this thing for, God knows, what, 2 months at this point?
Uh-huh, yep.
And he fucks his own shit up.
That's hilarious.
Like, there's no way that I'm guessing that Vince Russo didn't write his part in the segment. I'm guessing that he was just allowed to roll on his own. So, like, it's just like, you're a goddamn retard. Like, anybody that knows half of anything about TV would know that you're wrong.
Yep.
I mean, how many times, even if you're just watching a football game over the holidays, you know, just like now, they're like, oh, we want to thank the production crew back in the truck, and they always have that obligatory shot of everybody with their backs to the camera waving.
Yep.
The televisions.
Yep.
It's just like, and how many times have we seen, even in wrestling, we've seen the production truck before. Oh, DX is going to invade the production truck.
Yeah,
like,
or better yet, the NWO is going to invade the production truck. The NWO led by Eric fucking Bischoff.
Yeah, it's just like, ah, man, motherfucker, like, you're awful. He's not there at ringside.
Yep.
Oh,
man.
So, that segment went up against a heartfelt, well-done, I bet you semi-planned out, but really, they probably let Brett and Sean go on the mics, which they should do.
Yep.
And it was great. Like, you know, I don't think Brett was nearly as enthusiastic about hugging Shawn Michaels as Sean was about hugging Brett.
Brett was doing the guy hug thing where he just kept patting him on the back in hopes that he would let go.
Yeah, and I think Sean, at this point, he really seems to have turned over definitely another leaf. Whether you believe in that whole born-again garbage or not. But, you know, he does good for him, and he's turned his life around. He doesn't, you know, get himself all fucked up anymore. So that's good for him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he genuinely meant something like that, too. Like, I think that, you know, that's part of that type of, you know, Christian religion really is big on forgiveness for the most part. So, I mean, I think that is very important to him.
Yes, it is.
Good
point. Well, yes, that was those are the two pretty much most newsworthy head-to-head segments. The other one, actually, I'm perfectly fine with skipping ahead to the end of the show. Did you catch the AJ Styles Kurt Angle match?
Yes, I did, because
I
flip flopped and the match started. Everything was cool. They're just getting started. You could tell it was going to be a long match. Then they have Tomko interfere. Dressed up in his black hoodie and his black old school hockey mask. And that just really completely fucked the momentum of the whole match in my book. And then it seemed like they did that. Kurt Angle is cool enough to, just pick AJ Styles up or just pull him up by the arm, give him a little bit of a breather, and then they restarted the match. And I think that's when they went to commercial.
Okay.
Or they went shortly thereafter, which was, fine. I mean, it was a pretty lengthy match, so, I mean, you needed to have a commercial break in there somewhere. And, that was the only weird thing, is it seemed like they went to the commercial break, and after the attack, they just went from, like, first gear to fourth gear, which is, we're pretty much hitting finishers at this point, and hoping for a pinfall. And it's like, can I see, like, a missile drop kick? Maybe Kurt Angle actually, for a change, hits that top rope moonsault that he always goes for.
Yeah.
Other moves that you could do that aren't like, oh, this should pin him, thing.
Let me give an analogy to this. Little Red Riding Hood was walking through the woods with a picnic basket, and oh, fuck, now the woodsman's cutting open the wolf. But I thought stories had a middle too.
Yeah, and this, it didn't seem like it had a middle. But the parts that they had were, I mean, it was well wrestled.
Okay.
I did like the outcome.
Which you have to tell me. You have to fill me in on that too.
Styles ended up winning.
Okay.
With, like, his third Styles clash or something like that. And even something like that doesn't bother me, I mean, that Shawn Michaels Undertaker match, I mean, and that's what I tried to, well, they thought they were comparing to it or something, I don't know. But, they obviously use their finishers more than once. So, I mean, that doesn't bother me, but, the length of that match, like 30 minutes, as opposed to, a 15, 20-minute TV match. I don't remember exactly how long it was. It just doesn't translate the same either. Like, I think that's where the whole middle part comes in, too.
Yeah.
You've got to plan that match out a little bit better.
You saying that actually brings up kind of an interesting point in a roundabout sort of way. Let's go back to Eric Bischoff. Holding on to that format and then tearing it up, throwing it everywhere, and handing over the new format, and he says, this is how the show is going to go. Now, I don't remember who I was talking to, and I think I was talking to somebody on IM, but I made the comment, it's too bad that this keeps coming up on Vince Russo-style wrestling television, the fact that wrestling is like so thoroughly scripted out in these big 60-page booklets, And it's being exposed as such on television, because really, you would think that if it were like a real sport, the only format you would have would be one sheet of paper that lists some matches, and you would say, here are the matches, they might talk, they might grab the microphone, who knows, there are a bunch of wild cards out here, these wrestlers are, but no, what we get is a format that's like word for word, and you see them, floated around on television all the time. So the thing that you said that made me think of that was, it's a good thing Eric Bischoff saved 30 minutes for that AJ Styles Kurt Angle match, huh? It's a good thing he didn't book it for only 15 minutes.
Along that vein, there was one segment, I think it was right before he talked to AJ Styles, maybe it was after. He's talking to, somebody with a headset again. He goes, trim a couple of minutes off of this. We don't need that much. And I'm just like,
wow.
You know, like, I mean, I guess they have time limits for some of the interviews, you know, like, and again, like, I always kind of relate a lot of this stuff to sports, you know, they try to make the interviews with the coaches going in before halftime really short or something like that. So, I mean, I guess you could kind of pretend that there's some stuff that they just have, you know, certain set times for.
Sure. You know what, pick something like, come up with something like.
You're more right, though. You know, it should be more of a free-flowing format that doesn't have much of a structure to it.
Because if you want to present it as legitimate, you don't know how long these matches are going to go. You know, Raka Khan might wrestle Sojourner Bolt for, you know, fucking 45 minutes. Who knows? We might talk for 3 hours tonight. Who knows? We can't structure this shit. But anyway, I mean, that I feel, you know, part of me feels nitpicky by saying that, but part of me doesn't. It's like, you can't continue to everyone knows it's fake. Everyone knows it's fake. But it sucks to see things like that getting exposed. That was the first thing I thought when I saw that was, why are you flashing a format on television? It's like, it would be like showing a table read of an episode of Seinfeld instead of showing Seinfeld. And that's not what I want to watch. I don't want to watch Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Jason Alexander and Michael Richards sitting around a table reading the script. I want to watch them act the shit out. So it's like, quit giving me that stuff.
Yeah, and if you do want to give us that stuff, hey, you know what? There are these wonderful things that people love to buy now that they're called DVDs. And
yeah.
I'm sure that everybody would just love to snap that stuff up.
Yeah.
And watch it. So, you know, yeah, if you do want to do that, fine. Film it and, you know, sell it to people so that you can make some money off of it. Hey,
yeah,
aren't you all about making money, Mr. Bischoff? There you go.
Yeah.
There's an idea for you. TNA Mole, get it done.
Nice. Well, okay, so that was the Angle Styles match. That went up against Bret Hart and Vince McMahon in the ring. Another segment with a lot of attention, and that was good. And somebody, one of my Facebook friends is a wrestling fan, and one of his friends was commenting, and it was like, two old men in the ring talking in the main event. I'm like, you know what? Maybe without John Cena around, maybe that was legitimately the headlining event on Monday Night Raw, was an interview with Bret Hart and Vince McMahon in the ring. And in this case, so be it. It was a historic thing. You know, for whatever anyone thinks it's worth. And the way it ended, it set up what is probably going to end up being their street fight at WrestleMania. But it was a couple of guys who were good at talking, and it was intriguing. It was interesting to watch those two talk and interact. That's my take.
It was pretty solid. I didn't think it was quite as tension-filled as the one with Michaels earlier. And that might have been part of the reason why, is that, you know, half of it was over, so it didn't quite have the same feel. But it was still a good segment, you know. I would have called the Shawn Michaels Bret one great, and I would call this one good.
Sure.
You know, I think there's a little different level in there, and yeah, it's good to get it out there because, well, you know, the WWE writers do show up in January. So, I mean, it was good to get out there that Stu Hart is the first guy in for the WWE Hall of Fame at your,
yeah,
you know, which is always the day before your signature event. So, hey, why not start pimping that already, too?
And I was excited to hear a small but somewhat vocal portion of the crowd chanting, "We want Owen." That was pretty cool.
Oh, I must have missed that.
Yep, no, I heard that, and I wanted one of those two to say something. I was hoping that one of those two heard it and would make a comment about it. But, you know, can't divert from the format, I guess.
Yeah, well, at least they weren't talking about it.
Yep, that's right. So, I mean, you know, I guess I prefer wrestling over an interview 99 times out of 100, but this was probably the one time out of 100 where an interview was a good thing to finish off the show.
Yeah, and I mean they don't have the champion, and not to, steal Cena's line or anything, but they don't have the champion there really right now to support a headline segment like that.
No. Well,
You
let's
know,
talk about that a little.
at the end of the show.
We could probably paint the rest of the show, the rest of both shows, in pretty broad strokes. Let's talk about Raw a little bit as a whole. Sheamus continuing his win streak as champion against lesser opponents, I guess, not world title contenders. He beats Evan Bourne in a few minutes, which, Evan's a great tackling dummy. I don't know.
Yeah,
Was it good for either one of them? I got Sheamus a win. I mean, that's a good thing, I guess.
I guess, this goes back to they keep on saying they give people a chance to get crowd reactions and that bust their ass and that do everything they can. And every time Evan Bourne has had a segment, the crowd goes nuts. And he wrestles well. Like, he always presents himself very well in the ring. Like, there is nobody that can do the stuff that he does right now.
Right.
And, he's in phenomenal shape. He's a good-looking guy. And, I thought his mic skills had been kind of bad on ECW. And for the most part, he delivered. Like, it was really short what he had, but. He didn't come off like a dweeb or anything like that, so that was a
Right.
plus. So I don't understand why he was the tackling dummy. Like, I get why MVP was the dummy last week. They don't seem to have any faith left in him. And sure, go ahead, feed him to the Miz. See, that's another good guy to feed him to,
Yeah,
honestly,
always.
or even to have a slightly more extended feud with him, if they so please.
Yep, because I'll say it for the third week in a row. MVP still has that shred of credibility with the crowd.
Yep.
I mean, they reacted well when he
So
won the four-way, so, but yeah, Bourne, I don't know. It's like
I think it's a bad choice, but I guess he can always recover. I mean, he's still, I don't know how young he is, but I would guess he's still fairly young, so,
All right, Pagan's probably 29, I think. Something like 28, 29. I think he's my
Yes.
age.
So he has time. You
Yeah.
know,
Oh.
I think they can still build him up. And I think I've said this before too. I'd love to see him back in ECW as the champion, just because he's more fit size-wise to be there. But whatever.
Well,
I don't think they'll. I
I've
don't
kind of
think
tried
they'll
to
do it.
speculate
But.
that maybe he'll win the homecoming thing. Maybe he'll beat Christian, and that'll be his way back to ECW. I don't know. It seems like WWE is high on him, though, for the weird things that they have him do, for the jobs that he does, and for the way that he gets beaten up. I think they really like it, and I think they like him. And I still think there are plenty, like you said, there's plenty of time, plenty of big
Yeah.
things to come for Evan Bourne. So yeah, I wouldn't write him off.
I agree with you, actually. I think that's maybe why I end up being just kind of half on it, like not fully outraged.
Well, okay. Back to MVP though. So he beats Jack Swagger. He pins Jack Swagger in a match that also has Carlito and who the hell else was in that match?
Chavo.
Are you serious, Chavo?
I think it was
Jesus,
Chavez.
I must not have been paying that much attention if Chavo was in there. Fuck that. Oh no, Mark Henry. Mark Henry was in there.
Oh, okay. I'm
I can see
sorry
where you
then.
get the two confused. Since Chavo wears that fucking poncho that looks like it could fit Mark Henry, but Miz on commentary. God, Miz just owned that whole thing. Talking to Maurice at the top of the ramp the way he did, doing commentary. He was fucking great. Damn it, Miz is he's a, I use the word awesome all the time, so it's gonna suck when I say it in regards to him because that's his fucking catchphrase. But that's what he is. He's so awesome to watch. I love it.
Yeah, he's the Miz, and he is awesome.
The thing that I thought was weird was didn't Chris Masters beat Carlito last week pretty decidedly?
Yeah, he did. He bitched
So
him around pretty bad.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe Carlito's background as an Intercontinental and U.S. and Tag Champ, maybe it was reason enough to have him in the Fatal 4-Way, but you'd think that Chris Masters would go in there instead.
Didn't Carlito take the pin?
No, Swagger actually got pinned.
Oh, that's right. Swagger did get pinned. Well, shit, yeah, they could have had Masters in there.
Right, yeah. Oh,
I guess
well.
they had they. Hold on, no. There was Swagger and who else? Oh, well, you had to have two faces and two heels. So
Yeah, you
since
had to
we had
balance it out.
MVP and Mark Henry, we had to keep things balanced in that respect.
Right, yeah. What else though? I'm trying to breeze through Raw here. DX and Jericho. It was a good match. It was a pretty damn good tag match, actually.
Yeah, it was pretty solid. I did. I loved the awkward moment at the end where Big Show, looks down on Jericho, and both of DX is ready to come around the ring when Big Show exits the ring too.
Yeah. No, like, no, we
Like,
better just stay over here.
yeah, you see them walk back across your screen.
Yeah, that's great. That's
I got a
awesome.
bit of a kick out of that.
That's professional, though. That's so awesome of them that they did that. That's like thinking on your feet. I'm not gonna get in his way.
Yeah, exactly. He's pissed off. And I mean, I think they've given Big Show enough of a rest at this point, from feuding with other people, that he could be handy as being a singles wrestler again. And plus, what, Jericho's pretty much been the bitch boy taking all the pins. So he can
Yeah.
always say, hey, I wasn't taking the pins in our tag team. Fuck Chris Jericho. And maybe he doesn't say fuck Chris Jericho, but he can at least say he wasn't taking the pins so that he maintains his credibility, that Jericho really did help rebuild.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Calling him a destroyer and whatever else, whatever other words he threw out there for him.
And just dressing him up in a suit.
Yeah, those are some large suits.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited to see what they do with Big. I'm more interested, I guess. Excited might not be the word, but I'm interested to see what Big Show has up his humongous sleeve next. Yeah, good tag match. Obviously, I thought it was stupid what they did with Hornswoggle. I love though the fact that Michaels comes into the shot backstage and he's like, "Why do you talk to him like he's a little kid?" That was funny. But then, of
Yeah.
course, the dog thing, I'm like, Jesus Christ, Hunter, how badly do you need to feed your ego every fucking week that you do this shit because you think it's hilarious? Like, I understand, like, I'm not trying to be sensitive about the demeaning aspect of it, but my God, come on. It's like, we all know that he's a fucking midget. He's not a dog.
But they've kind of presented him like a trainable dog, though. So I mean, whatever. I guess I've been beaten down so much at this point with Hornswoggle. It's just like, okay, whatever.
If nothing else, though, even if there was some sort of like lobbying watchdog group or something like that of little people out there, it's not like they could start a write-in campaign. They can't reach the mail slot.
Oh, Jesus.
That was
Oh, okay.
a Bobby
Outstanding.
joke. God, I love it. Fucking Bobby Heenan. Sorry, anytime I get a chance to drop a quote, you know I will. But I'll give him full credit.
Yeah, well, as long as you do, because my memory is not that good, so you will definitely be the only one doing it if the two of us doing a show.
Well, okay. And the other thing that's worth mentioning from Raw was the fucking terrible women's match between Maryse and whatever the Bella twin it was. My God, that bitch can't wrestle. That was amateur as shit. She would land a move, and then she'd kind of do that thing where she'd throw her hands back and be like, "What?" And she'd take a whole step backwards. It's like, wow, that's awful. That's backyard shit right there.
Yeah, no, the Bellas are just terrible in the ring.
Yep. So,
and I think Marie still needs to get her timing back a little bit. I thought that she was really getting somewhere with her in-ring work. Yeah, before the knee injury. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe she just feels tentative on the knee, which, hey, you know, I can't really blame you.
Yep.
Happens all the time.
That's right.
So.
So, that's, I mean, that's Raw, but compared to TNA, I mean, they had a women's match at the same time, right? It was the knockout tag match, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the tag match. That was pretty good, although, you know, it just kind of feels like maybe this is another Vince Russo staple. Like, they haven't come out right and said, or, you know, even ODB seems to be going to the heel territory.
Yeah, seems like it.
Because she pulled the trunks of Victoria to win.
Yep.
And she had been really bitchy the week before, but then a lot of people were still cheering her, but she was still doing some of her regular spots. So it's like, okay, which one is it? Do you want us to cheer or do you not want us to? So, you know, let people not cheer. That's fine, because then you break up Cutie Pie 1, Miss Taylor Wilde, and Hot Stuff number 2, Miss Sarita. And then you have two challengers that aren't Tara if she's going, you know, I mean, I don't know when she's going to have her first MMA match, but, you know, at some point they're going to have to, you know, kind of get her out of the title picture. Yeah, so, you know, I can see that, but I guess I think that's just wasting Awesome Kong. Like, there's no reason. She shouldn't basically be losing on her own except for every blue moon. So now that she's tagging with someone else, you know, the team shouldn't really be losing, especially when they've presented Hamada as well as they have.
Yes. Oh, so, random
I think
fact.
It's a waste of their skills, but it was a good match. Like, all four of them are good, you know, female wrestlers.
Yes, they are. Here's a very random fact. Did you know that New Year's Eve was actually a blue moon?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure more people knew that than I would think. But, yeah, okay, anyway. I heard that and had to drop that as soon as you said blue moon. Oh, and by the way, blue moon is delicious with a slice of orange.
Oh, yeah. I don't do fruity beers too much.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Goddamn you and your Yingling. By the way, they mentioned Yingling on NPR the other day, so word continues to get out, even among the non-beer crowd.
Outstanding.
What happened? I swear to God, for some reason, every time I turned over during the head-to-head part, which was like once, they're doing some sort of strip poker thing. What else happened on the head?
I don't have anything pulled up right now.
I can't even think of a goddamn roster to think of who would have been there. I mean, we can just talk about other stuff, like, okay, Ric Flair came out of nowhere.
Oh! Well, yeah, Ric Flair came out of nowhere and then did nothing whatsoever.
Right. He shook hands with
great
backstage and, yeah.
Yeah, he went into AJ Styles' locker room and then came out randomly during the match with him and Angle, and then walked to the back randomly during the match with Angle and Styles.
Yeah.
So, great.
The player right now is on the same level as Tomko in a hooded sweatshirt. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, wow, this is something that just hit, too. If they want to raise AJ Styles' profile, I don't care if it's a rehash of what they did with Ric Flair and Evolution.
Uh-huh.
Have him be attached to AJ Styles.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
You know, if for as much of a... I'm usually not against small people, but I don't know. AJ Styles just, like... If you look at Evan Bourne next to AJ Styles,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's clear that Evan Bourne is much more worthy of a world title, no matter which promotion,
uh-huh.
than AJ Styles is.
Styles is like, just He's got, he can wrestle okay. He's a big old spot monkey. That's why he was so huge in Ring of Honor when he was there, whatever. I just don't,
Yeah.
I still don't get into his wrestling matches, and he just looks like a douche.
Yeah,
Like,
I think that's what the problem is.
if I saw him, if I didn't know who he was and I saw him walking down the street and somebody said, "That guy's a pro wrestler," I'd be like, "Whatever. I'll eat my hat." But sure enough, old douchebag McGee does the flying forearm and they make t-shirts for him.
Yeah, and what? Oh, just the physically, like it. You know, Bourne looks like he's in the gym. Like any time that he's not wrestling, he looks like he's in the gym. You know, that dude is fucking ripped. And Styles is sitting there with, you know, being about the same size with, you know, a mini beer gut, basically.
Yep. He's just looking up religious shit online.
Yeah, it's. I don't get it.
As opposed to Evan Bourne, who's busy moshing to Alkaline Trio, which is fucking awesome. I love the fact that he loves Alkaline Trio.
I don't really listen to them too much, so I'm not sure whether I like them or not.
Their new single, This Addiction, just came out, and their new album's available in February sometime. And I'm going to go see them in Lawrence, Kansas. Hooray! Alkaline Trio. Anyway, I digress again.
Who did, but speaking of AJ Styles and speaking of working out, I'm trying to think of who Samoa Joe wrestled there during Impact.
Oh, fuck, I don't remember.
And I'm trying to pull something up here. And
Yeah, I'm
I'm
just trying
having a
to think.
piss poor time of finding it on the torch here right now.
Well, while you're doing
And
that, too,
because.
I guess the other big news, like, okay, three things of big news: Hulk Hogan slash NWO, Ric Flair, Jeff Hardy. That's the other thing. Well, I mean, we
Yep.
can get that out of the way right now. He and Homicide got into it.
Yeah,
Then,
after the Birdcage match,
yeah.
in which Homicide could not get out of the Birdcage, which was hilarious.
Yeah, they should
He
really
gets,
think about that shit.
yeah, he, well, I guess they did. He said, "Oh yeah, no problems. I'll be able to get out of there." And sure enough, he must have been too gassed. So, hey, Homicide, you may be skinny, but maybe you too also need to hit the gym. I'm just
I
saying,
don't
like,
know.
you wrestled a 5-minute match at most, and then you couldn't climb the ring. Like, you did not do that much work. You should not be blown up in 5 minutes.
I just don't see the point, and this is, it's just a fundamental problem with TNA. I don't see the point, and I realize they have a bunch of little, like I said, spot monkeys who can, they're 180 pounds, and they can climb anything, and Amazing Red can do anything, and this guy, and tiny this guy. But why are you constructing a gimmick match that's so goddamn hard to have a finish for? Then you should not be in a wrestling federation, in a wrestling match, in a wrestling context. You shouldn't be putting people in that position. It's, I don't know. This is so ridiculous. It's like they're trying to reinvent the wheel. And we've bitched about this since the fucking inception of this company and every dumb thing they come up with. But they should, why don't they step back? Why don't they think about this shit for like a month and step back and think, oh, we're asking people to climb out of this little tiny hole. They have to fucking climb upside down to get out of this thing after wrestling X number of minutes. I don't care. You can wrestle for a minute, and that's still ridiculous to finish a thing by having a guy climb upside down and crawl out of a hole in the top of a cage. I don't get it. I don't get it. It baffles me.
Yeah, and then on top of that, I noted it in the forum there, it was really hard. When they went to the regular hard camera shot, there was so much red with the steel there that you couldn't see any of the action. The only time you could see it was when they were up close and looking directly through parts of the cage.
They did the
So
same
it's like,
with Kajabi Prison, which is one perfectly good reason to never bring that piece of shit gimmick back. Like, it's okay for the action figures, but, you know, you could barely see through that on pay-per-view also.
Yeah.
That's why they had to cut holes in the Hell in the Cell. Well, two reasons. One, so they could film through it, but two, so guys could climb up it. Yeah, it's just, you got to think about this shit in advance. Oh, my God, it's so frustrating.
In a DQ finish to start off the show, and, you know, that was hilarious. I don't think I've ever heard anybody try to, well, they did actually do a good job of bleeping the crowd chanting, "This is bullshit," which was just hilarious. I mean, you're not even 10 minutes into your big debut show, and people are, and people are chanting, "This is bullshit." And you know what? That leads me to another point that I wanted to compare that I didn't bring up when I was typing. On Impact, there were a bunch of anti-WWE chants. There was, "Who cares about Brett?" or something like that. And I think there was a second one. But you know what? Do you know how many anti-TNA chants there were in Dayton?
I would guess none.
A big, fat goose egg. So that's how much those fans gave a shit. Like, you know, that's just another one. I mean, that's how little consideration even the WWE fans, for the most part, have for... You know, like, the only time it really got brought up was when Jericho did the whole ear thing.
That was so classic. God damn it, Jericho cupping his ear. Oh, man, he had that shit-eating grin on his face. God, you could tell he was just living it up. Man, good for him. He can get away with shit like that.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, and whatever. The torch is crapping out on me, so I don't know what the deal is with whoever Joe fought, but whatever.
It's obviously the least newsworthy thing on the show. Oh, and Matt Morgan and Hernandez, of course, teamed up to squash the ECW favorites Raven and Stevie Richards. And I guess it would be okay that those two team up, Hernandez and Morgan, if they needed to establish them as two large men who are up-and-comers. But isn't that what they've been trying to do for, like, the last year with Matt Morgan? It's like, it's shit or get off the pot time with him.
For both of them, really. Hernandez has been back from his injury for about 4 months or something like that.
Yep.
And they present him as a badass aside from, well, he's been a badass aside from being a dumbass, too. Considering his cashing in of the his Money in the Bank ladder match briefcase.
Yeah, and
whatever they feel like calling it.
Yeah, such so frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Well, it just, for me, not having watched TNA, and I'm going to try to catch it on Thursday. We'll see what happens. I'll see what I think of it then. I assure you that, and the Nasty Boys, God damn it. I can't talk about this show anymore.
Well, and that was another oddball thing that they had going on, was that they have this whole whodunit where all the tag teams are getting laid out, and Bubba the fucking Love Sponge, you know, it's like, "I think I know who did it. Back to you, Mike and Taz."
Right.
It's like, okay. Like, I really, you know, I'm fine. Like, people are getting all bent out of shape that he didn't say who it was. Well, he said he thinks he knows.
Uh-huh.
Like, if he's a good reporter, he's not going to go, "Oh, yeah, this is speculation," and, you know, if they want to run a TMZ style and just go, "Oh, yeah, I think it was somebody," and, you know, they could say who it was. But, I mean, if he really wants to get to the bottom of it, like he has been all night long since he kept on interviewing everybody, well, then shouldn't he wait until he knows who it is, not who he thinks it is?
Yeah, that would be responsible journalism. I know, because I have a master's in it.
So, you know, I guess I didn't have nearly as big of a problem with that, but they did not solve that problem. But they also didn't make a big enough deal out of it, like so many other things, that most people are going to go, oh, I wonder who attacked those guys last week.
You know what? You just hit the nail right on the head, really. Other than Hogan and Bischoff, one guy who is either never going to wrestle or when he does, it's going to be awful, and another guy who's just a figurehead with a somewhat recognizable face. Other than those two, nothing was made a big deal out of on that show. Like, Jeff Hardy comes out, whoosh, sweep it under the rug. Flair shows up. We don't see him till the end, and then whoosh, gone. Tomko, gone. Bunch of wrestling matches that only took a couple minutes, whatever. Like, you had 3 hours to bring out the best in your company. And what did you do? You fucking trotted out Val Venus and the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, and I guess that's another contrast with the WWE. Yes, they had some old people on there, but there's Sheamus, The Miz, Evan Bourne, Kofi Kingston in the biggest match of the night.
Yeah, that's true. And as far
they're
as
all up and comers that aren't being held back at the okay, Bourne's being held back a little bit, but we both agree that, you know, we still think something's in store for him. So yeah,
whatever. Fuck it.
So like they got a large chunk of the show, so it's like, hey, we're presenting new guys, they're athletic, and oh my god, Evan Bourne at least hit his fucking shooting star press, which is never ceases to be a thing of beauty.
Yep.
So, you know, I'm sorry, the Styles Clash does, you know, to keep this comparison going, the Styles Clash does not, in any remote sense of the word, compare to that shooting star press as a finisher.
No, it's janky as shit. It has been for 7 years. It's like the only time it ever looked bad was when that guy tucked his chin and he nailed his forehead and jacked up his neck. Like, otherwise, it's just a stupid move. It's the setup for a Boston Crab, and then AJ Styles falls forward. Okay. Whatever, jackass. Yeah, I'll take the shooting star press anytime. I don't care if the guy landing on me is only 187 pounds. It's still a badass move. And there's a reason they showed it in slow motion. They showed it during the match or after, whatever. It fucking didn't even win the match, and they showed it in slow motion replay afterward.
Yeah,
they like Evan Bourne. They like him.
Yeah. So, you know, they definitely featured some old blood on WWE, but you know, they also featured some new people.
Yep. Yeah, we got a new thing going with Bret Hart. Cool. That's one new thing. And
yeah.
And now it's like, do we tune into TNA to see what they do with Val Venus, Ric Flair, Tyson, Tomko, Nasty Boy,
Orlando Jordan.
Orlando Jordan, Jesus Christ. This is Eric Nelson. We'll try to do better next week. I can't keep talking about this fucking terrible show.
Yeah, no, and you know what? That was the one thing, one of the few things I did like. I still like the Pope. He has a weird, I think there's a weird disconnect between his gimmick and his offense.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the street preacher, but he is a very polished in-ring wrestler.
Yes, he's good.
Which it, to me, that seems at odds, but, you know, whatever. That's cool. You know, I still think he's a good wrestler. He's a great talker. His character is fucking cool. I don't dig the get-up that much, but
The thing over his face?
I think if he got rid of the thing over his face, I'd dig the get-up.
Yeah, that'd be better. That'd be an improvement.
The face thing is weird. So, yeah, I guess. But, yeah, even then, like, the Pope just should have been able to say his piece. Like, they didn't need to fit all of his cronies on that show.
No.
You know, right away.
Not at all.
You know, they could have filmed it next week. Like, hey, there's still other guys coming.
Yep.
You know.
If he's writing one format, why not write a second one? Put the Nasty Boys on that one.
Yeah, they really... Well, and I thought that they were... I thought, especially since Bubba ended up talking to the Nasty Boys there when they were spray-painting the whole one photo of D-Von and they couldn't fucking find a photo of Bubba Ray. That, you know, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, we were the ones actually laying everybody out all night, which, you know, would make some sense. Then the other tag teams would have a reason to go up against them.
Right. Oh, boy.
Not that I would enjoy watching the Motor City Machine Guns wrestle the Nasty Boys, but...
No, God,
you know,
no. Oh, my God.
It would have made a little more sense. You know, and it's not like fucking Steve Austin getting run over by a car at the end of Raw or something. Like, people just aren't going to remember that well.
No, they aren't. Oh, boy. Well, the best thing we can say about Impact, as far as I'm concerned, there are two nice things you can say. One, you can be nice and say, well, at least they gave it the old college try and went head-to-head on Monday. But if you ask Dusty, that was a dumb idea. It was potential career suicide. And it just exposed their shitty product for what it was. And then the other thing would be that they exposed their shitty product to a little bit bigger audience. They drew a 1.5 overall, and the head-to-head with Raw averaged out to a 1.33, which went up against Raw's 3.6, which is actually up a notch from the week before. And it was, according to Powell, when his site works, it was a 5-month high. It was like the highest rating since August. So it turns out there is an audience out there who wants to watch professional wrestling. It's just kind of too bad they were subject to what TNA served up.
Yeah. I mean, and you know,
need to put your best foot forward.
And you know, and I didn't think about this either. Is that, you know, they're talking about doing more of these Monday things for TNA. Well, they really are. Like, last year's build-up to WrestleMania, I thought, was the worst it's been in quite some time.
Yeah.
But this time of the year, these first 3-4 months of the year is when the WWE, you know, even when it's been bad here the last, what would you say, 4 or 5 years, things have been fairly awful.
Yeah, there have been a lot of mitigating factors, too, like Hunter getting injured, oh, shit, we got to throw Michaels in the mix. How are we going to do that? It seems like it's always on the Raw thing. Like, how are we going to get Randy Orton into the main event again? Or how are we going to keep John Cena interesting?
Well, I just meant wrestling as a whole has kind of been down.
Oh, sure. Honestly, though, and Dusty and I have talked about this on IM, and I think he and I have actually both mentioned it in posts. Wrestling, we honestly believe, is on the verge of an upswing. Like, if you look historically, you have to sit through some shit for a few years, and then things kind of start to get interesting, and I think things are about to get real, real interesting.
Well, the old guys that we're all talking about, it's some juncture, you know, especially if they do in-ring work, there's a much higher potential to get injured.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, when they actually get around to doing that in-ring work, even on the semi-regular basis that TNA does, something can still happen.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
I use the word wild card again. This is kind of the wild card time of year.
Yep.
Especially with who we're dealing with now.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we've been going on for a while here. I think that's pretty much breaks down all the news, right? We talked about as many goddamn people as we could.
Yeah, we shoehorned everything in, and my Explorer just doesn't want to do anything right now, so I'm trying to shut it down, and it doesn't even want to shut down. So.
Ouch. Well, maybe it's time to shut down the show, but I will say this. I posted something about the Stunt Granny Decade End Awards. We'll be coming at you Friday with those. I've been excited about it since Dusty mentioned it, and I'm pretty sure I finished my list the next day, so I'm kind of a nerd. But keep an eye out for those. Should be coming Friday.
Yep, I have one category to get to.
Awesome, awesome.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anybody out there who has any thoughts, we put the post up so you could leave comments. Otherwise, join our forum, talk about it there. Yeah, let's just keep the ball rolling. Stunt Granny is where it's at, folks.
Who's the first out on this one?
I'll be first out. I always end up being one of the early ones out whenever I'm on a show. So, I'm gonna go to bed. I'm going to put the show up, then I'm going to go to bed. And then I'm going to wake up fucking early as sin, and I'm going to brave the snow, go to the gym, and So that's why I'm going to call it a night. So good night, folks.
Yep, and I've already gone to the gym, so it is time for sippy time beer, and then it is nappy time, and I get to join my boxer in snoring. So everybody have a good night, and we will keep the war updated.